Hebrews chapter 13 verses 7 to 9 and then Hebrews chapter 13 verse 17 and verse 24. I read to you Hebrews chapter 13 verses 7 to 9. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods which have not benefited those devoted to them. Hebrews 13 verse 17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Hebrews 13 verse 24. Greet all your leaders and all the saints. Those who come from Italy send you greetings. Now we said last time that as we read this last chapter in the book of Hebrews, we find the writer had a great deal of various subjects to discuss. And he keeps these subjects till the end of the book. And as we study the last chapter of the book, we see that the emphasis is on living by faith. Living by faith. The writer presented the great examples of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. And then he gave us the encouragements to faith in Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews chapter 13, he presented the evidences of faith that should appear in our lives if we are really walking by faith and not by sight. And we said there are four such evidences of Christian faith which is seen in Hebrews chapter 13. Number one, enjoying spiritual fellowship. Hebrews 13 verses 1 to 6. Number two, submitting to spiritual leadership, which is our text for this morning. Hebrews 13 verses 7 to 9. Verse 17 and also verse 24. Number 3, sharing in spiritual worship, which is Hebrews chapter 13 verses 10 to 16 and verses 18 to 19. And number 4, experiencing spiritual lordship, Hebrews chapter 13 verses 20 and 21. Now we looked at enjoying spiritual fellowship last Sunday. And today we will look at submitting to spiritual leadership. The text which we read, Hebrews 13, 7 to 9, verse 17 and verse 24. Now in these verses we find the writer using the designation leaders. And if you look at the King James Version, it uses the phrase, them which have the rule over you. Them which have the rule over you. The ESV uses the term leaders. The KJV uses the phrase, them which have the rule over you. Hebrews 13, 7. I read from the King James Version. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. Consider the end of their conversation. Them which have the rule over you. Now this phrase refers to spiritual leaders of the local assemblies. The church is an organism, but it is also an organization. If an organism is not organized, it will die. In fact, the church is compared to the human body of which Christ is the head. We see in Ephesians chapter 5 verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. The body mentioned here is the church of which Christ is the head. If the members of the body are unorganized, the body does not function as it should function. So wherever the Apostle Paul went, you find that he established local churches, he founded local churches, and then he ordained qualified believers to lead those churches. In Acts chapter 14 verses 21 to 23, Acts 14, 21 to 23 we read, when they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch. Remember, these are the places where Paul had already gone and presented the gospel. They returned to Lystra, to Iconium, and to Antioch. Verse 22, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. And when they had appointed elders for them in every church, with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Paul tells Titus in Titus chapter 1 verse 5, this is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. We read in Philippians chapter 1 verse 1, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, with the overseers and deacons. Now we have said earlier many times that this word saints means nothing but saved sinners. Believers, those who have put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and have received the gift of eternal life, trusting Christ for salvation. The church comprises of saints, that is saved sinners, and bishops or elders and deacons, same word that is used for bishops, elders, deacons. Together, the members of the body and the leadership form the local assembly or the local church. Now, each Christian has three responsibilities toward the spiritual leaders in his local church. Every Christian has three responsibilities toward the spiritual leaders in his local church. Number one, we are told to remember the leaders. Hebrews 13 verses 7 to 9, I read again. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods which have not benefited those devoted to them. Now the word remember your leaders. That word remember could suggest that these leaders were dead, most likely killed, martyred, and they should not be forgotten. How easy it is to forget the courageous Christians of the past. It is their labor, actually, their sacrifices that make it possible for us to minister today. They have led us to Christ. They have taught us His word, and they must be remembered. Yes, of course, we do not worship people or give them the glory, but it is certainly right to honor them for their faithful work. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verses 12 to 13. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. These leaders mentioned in Hebrews chapter 13 verse 7 were most likely the ones who had led the readers of this epistle to the Lord Jesus Christ, because the leaders had spoken the word to them. We read that in Hebrews 13 verse 7. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Now we must remember that very few Christians at that time had copies of the scriptures. Neither did they have the entire 66 books of the Bible that we have, that we hold in our hands today. So you can see the importance of this personal ministry of the word of God. It was like a one-on-one ministry most of the time. It was a ministry of love. It was a ministry of care. Now today we can read the Bible for ourselves. We listen to TV broadcasts. We go to Christian radio. We even listen and watch so many recordings on digital media, on YouTube, etc. But we are in danger. We are in danger of taking the word of God for granted. In fact, I believe that has been one of the greatest sins of God's people in the present church worldwide. Taking God's word for granted. God is looking for people who will take His word with utmost seriousness. Isaiah chapter 66 verses 1 and 2. Isaiah 66 verses 1 and 2. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What is the house that you would build for me, and what is the place of my rest? All these things my hand has made, and so all these things came to be, declares the Lord. But this is the one to whom I will look, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. God is not interested in church buildings or agendas. He is not bothered about how high the steeple of the church is. God is looking for people who will take his word in total seriousness. That is what God is looking for. This is the one to whom I will look, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. Hebrews 13 verse 7. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. I read to you from the King James Version, the same verse, Hebrews 13 verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. The believers could no longer hear their departed leaders speak, but they could imitate their faith and consider its outcome or end, considering the end of their conversation. Now this could refer to their deaths, suggesting that some of them were martyred. But look at verse 8. That verse tells us about the outcome of their way of life, which is mentioned in Hebrews 13 verse 7. The outcome is given in Hebrews 13 verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. In other words, the lives of those leaders pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. The way they lived, the way they thought, the way they spoke, the way they worked, their works, all of that pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, the very life of Christ was manifested in these leaders. Church leaders may come and go, but Jesus Christ remains the same, and it is Christ who is the center of our faith. It is Christ that we must exalt, and Jesus Christ alone that the world must see. Now the problem today is that we have plenty of Christian celebrities, but only a handful of genuine servants of God. The Apostle Paul tells us in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Look at Paul's agonizing prayer for the church. You read in Galatians 4 verse 19. Paul's prayer. In fact, he's agonizing in prayer for the church in Galatians 4 verse 19. My little children, for whom I am again in the anguish of childbirth, until Christ is formed in you. So, we must never build our lives on any servant of God. Build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ. He never changes. Of course, there is always the danger of being carried away, carried about with diverse, various and strange doctrines. Hebrews 13 verse 9, do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods which have not benefited those devoted to them. The whole purpose of spiritual ministry is to establish God's people in grace so that they will not be blown around by dangerous doctrines. Reading in Ephesians chapter 4 verses 11 to 14, Ephesians chapter 4 verses 11 to 14, Paul says, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness, in deceitful schemes. Now, some recipients of the letter to the Hebrews were considering going back to Jewish laws, to Judaism, and to Jewish laws that governed foods. And the writer warns them. He warned them that these dietary regulations would not profit them spiritually because they never profited the Jews spiritually. Hebrews 13 verse 9. For it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods which have not benefited those devoted to them. You see, those dietary laws were meant to distinguish the Jewish people from the rest of the world. Remember Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, they distinguished themselves. They were distinct from the rest of the pagan community in Babylon. So these dietary laws were given, meant to distinguish the Jewish people from the rest of the world, and they were also given for hygienic reasons. They did not profit the Jew spiritually. These laws were only shadows of the reality that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen carefully now. I'm going to read from Colossians chapter 2 verses 16 to 23. Please listen carefully. Colossians chapter 2 verses 16 to 23. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions, puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, referring to things that all perish as they are used, according to human precepts and teachings. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. We must be very careful not to go beyond the word of God and thereby end up teaching things contrary to the word of God. We must also be careful not to change the spiritual foundation of the church. It is unfortunate that there is very little doctrine actually preached today. Bible doctrine is the source of strength and growth in the church. When we study the scriptures book by book and verse by verse, we study both doctrine and duty. And the scriptures are to be studied not to give us a big head, but to give us a heart that obeys God. That is why we must hunger for the word of God and thirst for the Holy Spirit of God to empower us to obey his word. Number two, we are exhorted to obey the leaders. Hebrews 13 verse 17. This is our responsibility. We are exhorted to obey the leaders. Hebrews 13 verse 17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. When a servant of God is in the will of God, teaching the word of God, the people of God should submit and obey. Now, this does not mean that pastors become dictators. No. The Apostle Peter makes it very clear in 1 Peter chapter 5 verses 1 to 3. 1 Peter chapter 5 verses 1 to 3. So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. Now, some church members have a flippant attitude toward pastoral authority, and that is very dangerous. Because one day every pastor will have to give an account of his ministry to the Lord. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. So one day, every pastor will have to give an account of his ministry to the Lord, and every pastor would want to be able to do that with joy. It says here, let them do this with joy. Hebrews 13 verse 17. So a disobedient Christian will find on that day that the results of disobedience are unprofitable, not for the pastor, but for himself. Hebrews 13 verse 17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls. So do you see here in this verse how important membership, commitment, and accountability to a local church? It is so important. I urge you, each one of us, I urge each one of us, including myself, think on these things. Now, quite frankly, it is much easier to win souls than it is to watch over souls, to watch for souls. Pastors have a great responsibility of being watchmen over the flock. Members of the congregation have a great responsibility to submit to spiritual leadership. I read to you from Ezekiel chapter 3 verses 16 to 21. Ezekiel chapter 3 verses 16 to 21. And at the end of 7 days, the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way, in order to save his life, that wicked person shall die for his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness or from his wicked way, he shall die for his iniquity, but you will have delivered your soul. Again, if a righteous person turns from his righteousness and commits injustice, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because you have not warned him, he shall die for his sin, and his righteous deeds that he has done shall not be remembered, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the righteous person not to sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live, because he took warning, and you will have delivered your soul. Now, the larger a church grows, the more difficult it becomes to care for the sheep. Sad to say, there are some ministers whose only work is to preach and run the program. They have no desire to minister to the souls placed in their hands to care for them. Some are even hirelings. They work only for money. They run away when danger is near. John chapter 10, John 10 verses 11 to 14. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. When a shepherd is faithful to watch for souls, it is important that the sheep obey him. Then we come to the third responsibility. We are told to greet the leaders and saints. Hebrews 13 verse 24. I read verse 25 also. Hebrews 13, 24 and 25. Greet all your leaders and all the saints. Those who come from Italy send you greetings. Grace be with all of you. Now the Jews used to greet each other with the word shalom, peace. The Greeks often greet one another with grace. The Jews, even now, they greet each other saying shalom. The Greeks greet one another, they used to greet one another with grace. Now Paul combines these two, and he greeted the saints with grace and peace be unto you. Now you find that he does this in all his epistles except 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 3. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 2. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. But when Paul spoke, when he wrote to pastors, he greeted them with grace, mercy and peace. Grace, mercy and peace. He adds mercy. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verses 1 to 2. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by command of God, our Savior, and of Christ Jesus, our hope, to Timothy, my true child in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Again in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 1 and 2, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Then when he writes to Titus, Titus chapter 1 verse 4, to Titus, mine own son after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. Now I wonder why Paul did that. I think it is because Paul wanted pastors to recognize that the ministry that God had entrusted them with is because of God's mercy, not because of any merit of their own. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. So pastors need to humbly walk with God and fulfill their calling, their ministry. Of course, the writer of the Hebrew epistle was sending his personal greetings to the leaders of the church, but this is a very good example for all of us to follow. Every Christian should be on speaking terms with his pastor. I repeat, every Christian should be on speaking terms with his pastor. Never allow any root of bitterness to grow up in your heart. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. You see, if you hold on to any root of bitterness, it will only poison you and hurt the whole church. So, make sure there is no root of bitterness and be open. You can call me anytime, 24/7. All of you have my number. Whenever you want, you can call. Last night I received a call at around 12 o'clock. I think we prayed over somebody who was sick. I think, John is here. John Banerjee is here. So he'll probably share with you later. So don't hold any root of bitterness. Yes, it is true. Each member of a local church body has an important ministry to perform. But it is also true that God has ordained spiritual leaders in the church. Where the people permit the pastor, the elders, to lead, there is usually blessing and there is growth. I'm not talking about high-handed, egotistical dictatorship. No. True spiritual servant leadership, that is God's pattern for the church. Now, before we close, I'm just going to read a passage to you. The passage that the Apostle Paul, actually, he spoke to the elders of the church in Ephesus. He is bidding goodbye to the elders of the church in Ephesus. So again, listen carefully to the scripture. It's a long passage of scripture. I'm just going to read it to you slowly. But please pay close attention to it, after which we'll pray. Acts chapter 20 verses 17 to 38. Now from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. And when they came to him, he said to them, you yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews. How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all. For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who are with me. In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And there was much weeping on the part of all. They embraced Paul and kissed him, being sorrowful most of all because of the word he had spoken, that they would not see his face again. And they accompanied him to the ship. Shall we bow our heads in prayer? Over to you, George.